Hello everyone, and welcome back here today to Radio Helios. We're so very excited to be back, and we want you to say hi to everyone. Say hi, Gigi.
Hi.
And you go, Marta.
Ciao.
And hi, Ignacy.
Hello.
So today, the day of recording, is the 8th of March here in Acheriar and in everywhere in the world. And the 8th of March is also better known as the International Women's Day. And it's basically a day, if you don't know, you should know. It's a day every year, the 8th of March, where the premise is basically twofold, mostly. It's mostly about both celebrating the achievements that women have and celebrate women who have had an impact here on history. But it is also about shedding light on all the problematics that still exists between the genders in the world. Yeah, and basically it started all the way back in 1908. Kind of the first part of it started then, where a bunch of women in New York, they went marching on the street, 15,000 of them, to demand better work hours, better pay, and the right to vote back in 1908. And then in 1910, there was a meeting in Copenhagen, of all places, beautiful city of Copenhagen, where the German women's rights activist Clara Zetkin proposed that this should be something that was arranged globally and annually. And it started being in February, but later it moved to the 8th of March for it to be the day where it was every year. And then, since 1911, I believe, the year after, they decided to do it every year. It has been there every year since. So that's great. It's more than 110 years now. Whoa, wow, crazy. So, but because of this day, because of this lovely day, we decided that we wanted to discuss something related to this. And we decided to look at some of the female artists that have been prolific here in Italy, and some of them who has had something to say on the matter. And we fell upon Carol Rama. I don't know how I would pronounce that in Italian. But she's from Italy. She was born in 1918. And she died here a couple of years back. I can't remember exactly which one, but
2015, I think.
It was. Thank you, Gigi. But basically, throughout her life, she drew a lot of paintings. A lot of them, very provoking images, quite sexual, quite sensual motifs, which pretty much kind of pushed away for debates and stuff in Italy during her lifespan. And we have pretty much a couple of paintings that we want to discuss here as a start. Yes, and we have a couple ones, and I think if you're listening, you could take advantage of finding them on your phone. So we have something to see it by, so you can follow all our discussions. And the first one I want to discuss is called Dorina. It's from 1940. And it's basically a woman being nude and birthing a snake, kind of. it definitely lives up to her name of being a sensual, sexual, and well, maybe not sexual, but kind of maybe. It lives up to it being like provocative. And I want to start by hearing you, Gigi. Like, what do you think of this painting? What do you make of it?
Okay, so. You said birthing. I wouldn't. It's funny because I didn't interpret it that way. Actually, I think she is more entering the snake into her body than taking it out. Yes, you could see their heads. It's funny. Well, I think it portrays, comparing to her other paintings, the pleasure that a woman can get from sexual activity. Yes, I love how she looks at the snake, and like if you compare it to her other paintings, it's part of the one you can really see what sensuality is about, and under a woman's point of view, and she uses the symbol of the snake, which is as well one of the symbols for sensuality and sexuality. So yeah, for me, it's just about the pleasure that a woman can get from, I don't know, maybe masturbation, something like that.
Let me hear your take, Ignacio. What do you think of this, what she said?
Okay, so I agree that the snake can be some kind of symbol for the senses, for the erotic pleasure. But to me, like, the snake is coming out of the body. So it's like, to me, the snake mostly is about the temptation of the erotic pleasure human body can give to you. But in this painting, this temptation isn't anything bad, because when you look at the face of the woman, she's like looking the snake straight into eyes. She's like tempting him, taming him, and like using for her own pleasure. So to me, it's like a symbol of being content with your own body and your own sexuality. And like, to me, the snake is part of her. Like, a snake is a part of every human being, really. And culture can try to, or religion can try to say to us that there is no snake, or we should try to stop the snake inside us. But the painting, I think, is about that we can let the snake out and nothing bad will happen.
So like the term that Vilfredo used of birthing the snake, it makes sense now, because she's like birthing her desire out of her body.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, and I want to point out two things. If you look at her tongue, it is looking like the tongue of a snake. What do you make of that? What do you guys make of that? Anyone?
Well, to me, that means that, like, she is the one, like, creature with the snake. Like, they are the same, like, they are the same version. No, they are the same person, but, like, the two aspects of one person. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
Actually, the mouths in the paintings of these women are really interesting, and in all of them you can see like this tongue, or like this weird shape that it's... you can feel like the snake in this painting, because there is actually a snake, but on other paintings you can feel like this vibe without being like painted. And yeah, I agree with what Ignatius say in general. Like, for me, it's also part of her, and you can see it with the mouth, because it's like this is like the continuation of the animal.
And also, I think it's quite interesting, also, if you look at her head generally, that she is wearing like a crown, or not a crown, but it's like from the leaves. And this kind of gives me the vibes of this, like this crown, along with the fact that it's a snake, brings me back to, I want to say, tale about Adam and Eve, where the snake actually also kind of represents lust, and also the fact that that is all she's wearing in the start. They are all nude, and then suddenly they encounter the snake, eat the apple, the forbidden apple, and then they change. What do you think about this theory? Do you think I'm completely off the mark, or am I smart and clever?
I believe that there is something in what you said, because if you can interpret the Bible that way, that snake is part of us. Like, the snake is part of our like seen nature. But this painting, like, turns this story around. Like, it shows the other perspective, that we are like the one with the snake, and we shouldn't try to fight it.
Thank you for agreeing with me, Ignacio. That makes me very happy. I want to move on to a new painting now. I want to look at the one Appassionata from 1943, maybe, from this period at least. And this is a different one. It kind of sees a woman surrounded by two men with more than one reproductive organ. And I want to start by you again, I think, Gigi. What do you make of this one?
Okay, so first, before going into precisely into this painting, I'd like to say I really appreciate her work for how raw it is. She was not afraid of scandal, and this painting is a perfect example. She was not afraid of scandals, and especially considering the historical context she was working with, which is the fascist Italy. Most of her work was censored, especially from the beginning of her career, and she didn't have an international recognition before the 2000s, I think, or something like that. But yeah, to come back on how raw this painting is and how well it portrays the truth, from what I read, one of her main goal was to portray the anger of women regarding the fetishism they undergo on their bodies, on their sexuality in general. And this painting is really relatable. I mean, I do experience that as a woman. And her facial expression, how I wouldn't say I'm bothered, but the way she doesn't consider, the way she's not even looking at the dozens of phalluses around her. Meanwhile, the men are just content to expose themselves next to her. And it really portrays the misunderstanding of men regarding women's pleasure in sexuality. In fact, the women's pleasure in sexuality is a very, very recent concept. I have a great example that I like to talk about for how shocking that is. I don't know about the other countries, but in France, the clitoris, which is literally the organ for women pleasure, was not present at all in any school books of anatomy until 2017. So before 2017, you could not find a single clitoris in sexual education in school, which says long on how we consider women's pleasure in sexuality.
Nice. I see your point. How about you, Ignacio? What do you think of what she just said?
Well, this is really interesting from my perspective, because like I'm a man, so I didn't experience like the men's like aggression as women do. But yes, this picture to me is about the sexual aggression and the lust that men like have, and they like pursue to fulfill their sexual, I don't know, desires or dreams, and women are kind of like pressured by this because men are often aggressive. And to me, this picture is about like this kind of oppression, I would call it, and making, like trying to like make it stop, or just to not to give yourself to this man's desires. That's what it's about to me.
I also want to point out the fact that to me this also kind of looks like it is painted kind of also how the men sees the woman, like she's supposed to be like the pretty one who sits there nude and is okay with the two dicks hanging in her face. And I also want to point out the fact that her mouth is drawn and shaped like a heart, which is again something that we like associate with reproduction and love and this type of stuff. But and at the same time, she doesn't look to be enjoying it at all. It kind of shows the objectification, if you could say it like that, with the heart-shaped mouth.
And before we get into another painting, I just noticed something while comparing the two first paintings we saw. In the first one, where the woman seems to take pleasure, a not a single man appearing, while in the second, where the woman is, it seems like she's not enjoying her time, the main subject is in fact all the phalluses around her. That's a small detail. Maybe it's a, like, it's an interpretation of mine, but I think it could be interesting to go deeper in this detail.
Surely it's not completely random. I don't believe so.
For me, the last one, it's pretty stressful. I'm not feeling like good looking at it, and it's like, also, it's really stressful. The point of the fact that for me it's like pretty dark vibe what it's happening, but the colors they use are really light. So I cannot, like, I feel like this unrelated thing, and it makes me feel more stressful because it's like. It's like they want to show you something by the colors, but actually what is happening is completely the opposite. So it's not nice, because, I mean, it's nice the fact that I'm feeling it, so I like it because of it makes me feel like have these emotions, but like the emotions are not agreeing with what I'm seeing, you know? Like I feel like they show something nice, but when you actually see the like part by part, it's not nice at all.
And you can kind of compare that to what I said before with the, this is the way that the men are viewing it, because it's like, it looks nice to the eye, but it's not nice when you actually look a little closer.
Like, this painting is really good to put in comparison the two point of views from feminine to masculine.
Nice. I want to move on to a new painting, another one called Annunciazione. Annunciazione. And it's basically, it's like a pregnant woman flying over some kind of squid-like creature while pointing down at it, kind of, with bulls or animals in the background. And a wall. There's a lot to make out of this one. I want you to start this time, Ignacio, if you have anything to say.
Well, this painting is completely different, but it's also it was also painted later in 1885. So, well, it's like 40 years of difference between the previous paintings we were talking about. So the style has completely changed, but I think the topic is still kind of the same. But here now we have something more like grown, because of this is like not only sexual pleasure, but now we have a pregnancy. And to me, the title is connected to like religion, and to me the picture shows how the women can maybe touch some kind of like something sacred, something holy, by like creating another life. That bringing up a child is something really like special. Like the woman on the painting is all like she's literally floating, and she's touching some unspecified creature which is gold and blue. To me, it's kind of like gives me this religious vibe of holiness, yes. And I also would like to notice the animal on the left side of the painting. It's like in different stages of life. It's growing and growing. So to me, maybe it's also about the cycle of life, the fact that our goal on Earth is maybe bringing up new humans or new creatures, and also that the fact that there is animals and humans on the same like level. This is maybe something also about that we should that we all living species are equal in some kind of way. I don't know.
Nice. What do you guys think over there? Do you have anything interesting to say?
Ignacy already mentioned that, but you can really see the difference between her first paintings, the two previous we talked about, and this one, and it has actually a link with the historical context, because the very first paintings, she made that during her teenage years, before she tried to expose anything, so before she was censored. And after the fascist government trying to shut her down, she kind of slided into something more abstract, and it was less direct, but the subject is kind of always the same. But yeah, you can really see how abstract and how her work changed in the style, and it's very interesting.
I think you can maybe say something about the creature, because to me it looks like she's pressing it down. It looks like she's trying to like keep it away and hide it, but it still kind of want to bubble up. Mm-hmm. I think you might draw parallels to a woman's sexuality in this one too, in the fact that she has to just be pregnant and suppress her own desires and really just go with the flow and change like the animals do, the animals are also kind of behind the wall, and they kind of look imprisoned even, which might be a parallel to draw to how she feels. Maybe it's a bit far-fetched, but I don't know. I think it makes a bit of sense.
It does make sense, actually. It feels like she's trying to protect her maternity from everything that could oppress her. Now it's open to interpretation. What could oppress, especially back then, a pregnant woman? Probably lots of things, because it's still lots of things oppressing pregnant women nowadays. So back in the 40s, I guess it was even worse. So yeah, it's an interesting interpretation, actually.
But the painting is from the 80s, so I just want to clarify that.
Yeah, oh, but sorry. Still, it's but I mean, the point still stands.
Yeah.
Just before we end off, I want to kind of do like a quick summary here, and just like to widen our scopes, to zoom out a bit. And I just want to ask you, what do you think it does for society that paintings like these, that are so like aggressive almost towards the established norms and towards what we know, so provocating. What do you think that does? Do you think it's helpful for society? Do you think it's too much exposing people to this kind of stuff, and or what's your take?
Well, for me, it's not too much, because most of the times we noticed that it was the only way to bring attention onto something, especially when these subjects are very scandalous. People don't want to talk about, people don't want to open their eyes about it. It's disgusting. Women's body is disgusting. Women's sexuality is disgusting. Women's desires, is it even a thing? Like, it's the only way to bring attention and to break the stigma around this type of subject that everyone wants to close eyes on. You just have to be a bit brutal sometimes. And I mean, it's the raw truth. She didn't even bring it further than what it actually is. Like, it's the raw truth. And sometimes it's good to see it in front of our eyes.
Yes, I agree completely that this is definitely not something too much. And even if it is someone too much, we should break the taboos, because when you are forbidden to talk about this, well, actually talking about this makes a progress, make us like broaden our horizons. So well, and I think that those kinds of subjects should be touched, and we should talk about this a lot, because I feel like a lot of people still think that like the genders are equal in a job environment and in every aspect, when that's not entirely true, because women still are repressed in some fields, and the fight is not over and will probably not be over for a long time yet. So of course, to me, it's like feminist art is still very needed.
For me, it goes so much general. The fact that when when we get more realized about things is when they get impact to us. And I'm talking about any part of our life. It's like traumas. It's something that you realize after it. And I don't think it's just in some kind of topics. I think in general you need impact to realize what is happening. So in general, everything you want to really understand or really get know what is going on, you need like a really, really, really hard impact, and as much, as biggest, better. So never is enough if you really want to realize.
That was some very clever words from all of you. Thank you. I think that's all we did for today. Until next time, and thank you guys for listening.